Okay, today's shear is the final shear of the season before we go on to the summer hiatus. Today's shear is sponsored by David and Claire Nagel, Gary and Linda Bondi, Norman and Gail Brainin, in memory of Claire, Linda and Gail's father, Michal ben Avraham Dov, Alav HaShalom, on the occasion of his yard site. And our series, the weekly series, is sponsored by Jake and Karen Abelevitz in memory of Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avraham. What I would like to do today, I can't share my screen with you, but I think we'll be okay. What I'd like to do with you today is take a look at one element of the Meraglim story. And it might seem on the outset like a rather unimportant detail of the story, but it turns out that it's key. And so if you take a look in Bamidbar chapter 13, Pasuk 16. So let's start from here. Pasuk 17. Vayishlach Osam Moshe. So we're in Bamidbar, chapter 13, Pasuk 17. Vayishlach Osam Moshe Lasur Eseretz Kanaan. Moshe sent the scouts to go and investigate the land of Kanaan. Vayomar Alehem, Aluza Banegev Alisa Mesahar. Go up from the south and ascend the mountain, the hill country. Urisa Mesaharetz Mahi, and you will see what kind of land this is. By the way, as I think I've pointed out on Pesach time regarding Manishtana, the word Ma can mean two opposite things. It can either mean something which is infinitesimally small and insignificant, or it can mean something which is wow. So Urisa Mesaharetz Mahi could be like, see how amazing, wow, Ma, like how amazing this is. Or it's like ma, it's like nothing. So reisa mesaaretz mahi. So you, the scouts, you now have a choice in front of you. I think that the usage of this terminology mahi, reisa mesa mahi, instead of just saying reisa mesaaretz, right? But this language of mahi is deliberate. Because what Moshe is doing is setting the stage here for the Meraglim to make a choice. You have a choice to be made, that is going to be made. You're going to choose whether you're going to see the good or the bad, the positive or the negative, emun and Hashem or lack thereof. So even the language of Mahi intimates an ambiguity. And you're going to see, is the people that dwell there, are they strong, are they weak, are they many, are they... But in other words, had the pasuk just gone right, is it Uriza Masa Aretz Vesha'am Ayoshev Allah? Okay. Pasuk 19. Umaha Aretz Asher Hu Yoshev Ba. We have that language again. Uma. Ma can either mean something extraordinary, or it can mean something minuscule and infinitesimally insignificant. Umaha aretz asher hu yoshev ba hatovahi imra'a. Umaha arim asher yoshev bahena hamebachanim imivtzarim. Umaha aretz hashmenahi imra'za hayesh ba'etz imayim vizchazaktem. So over and over again, we have this word ma. Now, if it had only come up once, you could say, okay, you know, this is the way the Torah needs to express itself in order for Moshe to make clear his intentions. But the fact that the Torah repeats this language, Uma, 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 five times, or one, two, three, four, or five times in these three psukim, indicates to me at least that this is a meaningful expression, and I think the meaning is as I just suggested. Now here comes the what I think might seem to be.
Could you repeat the meaning that you think? I got that it's either extraordinary or insignificant, but you said something else.
Okay, what I said was that Yeah, no, that's what I said. That ma can either mean something extraordinary or can mean insignificant. And you, the miraglim, you're going on this mission. You have to determine whether you believe. You have a choice in front of you. Are you going to see the Haaretz as ma or as ma? Are you going to see Eretz Yisrael as something extraordinary, faith in Hashem? We're charging with full force. Or are you going to see it as insignificant, as not important, as somehow problematic in one way or another, and therefore turn your backs on it?
That's Rabbi,
yes.
It's very interesting that after Moshe says this to them, you would think that that would have been chizuk enough for them to make the right choice.
Yeah. But of course, human beings have one flaw, and that flaw is they are human beings. Okay, so the pasuk says, "V'hischazaktem," and be strong. V'hischazaktem, ulekachtem mipri haaretz, and take from the fruit of the land. V'hayamim yimei bikurei anavim, and the period of time that he set them on this mission was the time of the Bikurim, the harvesting season, which is sometime in the spring. Chazal tell us it was Rosh Chodesh Tammuz that this occurred. Now, why did Moshe tell him to bring back from the fruit of the land? So on a simple pshat level, you could say, well, you know, if they bring back good fruit, be able to show it to the people, wow, this is amazing fruit. So, you know, people will see how good the land is, especially since the people had been complaining about food, earlier on, they were complaining about food. So we're having this transition. Guess what? You're going to have good food. But, is that really going to be the clincher for Klal Yisrael that the fruit of the land is good? I mean, of everything to bring back and to prove how good the land is, so it's because it produces good crops. Is that it? That's the whole thing. As we've pointed out many times, or I've reminded us many times, when Rabbi Riskin, Shlomo Riskin, came to Kingsway, he said that Kingsway was the ediest shul he's ever attended. Great food at Kingsway. So okay, so maybe we're just part of a long tradition here of Jews loving food. But I think you will guess that's not where I'm going to end up. Vayalu vayasu es haaretz, and they go and they scout out the land. Vayalu banegev, vayavo ad Chevron, v'sham achiman v'sheshev etalma yilidei ha'anak, v'chevron sheva shanim nivnisa, and they go up from the south and they get to Chevron. Vayavo ad Nachal Eshkol, and they get to Nachal Eshkol. Vayachrisu misham zmora, and they cut off a vine branch. Ve'eshkol anavim, in a cluster of grapes. Vayasa'uhu bamot bishnayim, and two people carried it on poles. Umin haribonim, umin ha'tianim, and they took some pomegranates and figs. Okay, so. So here they go. They are doing exactly what Moshe told them to do. Go bring grapes. Go bring fruit. And apparently, the fruit that was the most significant fruit for them to bring back were the grapes, or at least that's what the Torah seems to say. Vayavod Nachal Eshkol. They come to Nachal Eshkol, the Wadi of Eshkol. Eshkol is a cluster. A cluster of grapes. So maybe this was an area in which grapes grew beautifully. And vayichritu misham zemora, and they cut off a vine. Ve'eshkol anavim echad, and with a cluster of grapes. And it was so big, and it was so beautiful, and it was so luscious and so wonderful. And they bring it back. Now the Torah thinks this is such a significant place that the Torah has to tell us why this was called Nachal Eshkol. Lamakom ahu kara Nachal Eshkol. This place they called Nachal Eshkol in honor of the grape. Alodos ha'eshkol asher karsu misham b'nei Yisrael, because of this because of this cluster of grapes that they cut off and they brought back. That's why they call it Nachal Eshkol. Vayishvu vayashuvim mitor haaretz miketz arba'im yom, and they come back. And they come back after 40 days. Okay, so very interesting here. This seems to be a cluster, if you will, pun intended, a cluster of insignificant details. Moshe Rabbeinu tells him to go tour the land. Fine, I get that. But the one thing he tells him to bring back is food. Let's show the people how good the food is. Why is that significant? And the most significant thing that they take are the grapes. And the grapes are in a place called Nachal Eshkol. And the Torah has to tell us why it's called Nachal Eshkol. So,
what else would they have brought back, if not food?
Nothing. Nothing. They didn't have to bring back anything. If it was significant for them to bring back food, why does the Torah go into this whole detail about the grapes and Nachal Eshkol? It seems to be quite a bit of detail of something which could be summed up in a half a sentence. Ulekachtem mipri haaretz, go take from the fruit of the land. And the Torah could have then said, vayaviu, and they brought back from the fruit of the land. But instead, we go off onto this seemingly, side note over here about going to Nachal Eshkol and cutting off the fruit and cutting off the vines, etc. Okay, so what is the significance of this? First of all, we have yet another question. The other question is, let's look carefully at the pasuk about naming it Nachal Eshkol. So Pasuk 23 says, Vayavo'u ad Nachal Eshkol. They come to Nachal Eshkol. So what is the name of the place that they came to? The name of the place that they came to is Nachal Eshkol. Right? We can all agree on that. They came to the place called Nachal Eshkol. Problem is, it's not named Nachal Eshkol until after Pasuk 24. Lamakom ahu kara Nachal Eshkol. This place was named Nachal Eshkol. Why? Because of the Eshkol, because of the cluster that they cut off. So it wasn't Nachal Eshkol until they got there and named it Nachal Eshkol because of this amazing cluster of grapes. So it's a little bit strange how the sequence here of the psukim. They come to Nachal Eshkol. They cut off the grapes, the grapevine, and then they call it Nachal Eshkol. So how did they get to Nachal Eshkol? How was it called Nachal Eshkol before they named it? So on a pshat level, on a simple pshat level, the easiest explanation is, don't get too worked up over this. The Torah is speaking retrospectively. The Torah says they came to Nachal Eshkol. It doesn't mean it was called Nachal Eshkol before they got there. But the Torah is saying this place that they got to was Nachal Eshkol, and it got the name Nachal Eshkol because of what happens in the next pasuk. So this is what the Ibn Ezra says. So don't take it too seriously in terms of the order and in terms of the sequence. However, other Mefarshim do take it seriously, and do believe that the sequence here is meaningful. So I saw cited the name of Reb Chaim Paltiel, that if you notice, the Torah tells us, let's go back to Pasuk 22, right? We're in Pasuk 23, and 24 is about Nachal Eshkol. And let's go back one Pasuk to Pasuk 22. Vayalu banege vayavo ad Chevron. They went up, the Meraglim made their way into Eretz Yisrael, and they came through the south of the country. Right? If you go to Israel, God willing, I and my family will be heading out later next week to Eretz Yisrael, and we plan on taking the kids on some trips. So I said to my wife, we should really start in Be'er Sheva, because that's what the Meraglim did. The Meraglim started in the south. So she said to me, but we're not Meraglim. Okay. So, the Chazal tell us the idea of going from the south up to the north is, you know, you start from sort of the least, and you know, you build up. You don't want to start on, you know, you don't want to start at Yerushalayim. It's all down from Yerushalayim if that's where you start, right? So Vayalu Banegev ad Chevron, and they come to Chevron. Says Reb Chaim Paltiel, why is this significant? Why is it significant? Well, you might recall that part of the metropolis, if you will, of the ancient metropolis of Chevron, if you could call it that, was a section called Elonei Mamre. Okay? And Mamre had a friend, and his name was Eshkol. And it could very well be that Eshkol lived not too far away from Mamre. Mamre lived in Elonei Mamre, and Eshkol, living not too far away, or close by, was in Nachal Eshkol. So it's significant. The Torah tells us they get to Chevron, right? And the next pasuk is telling us Nachal Eshkol, because Eshkol and Mamre are next to one another. Okay, so Vayalu Bane, so pasuk 23, they get to Nachal Eshkol. Right? It's not called Eshkol because of the grapes. It's called Eshkol because originally Eshkol lived there. Eshkol, the buddy of Mamre. But that really then just begs the question, so what? In Pasuk 23, the Torah is telling us, Pasuk 24, excuse me, the Torah says it's called Nachal Eshkol because of the Eshkol Asher Karsu Misham B'nei Israel. So it seems that this place was named twice. It seems it was named initially because of Eshkol, who either founded it or lived there or conquered it or developed it, Nachal Eshkol. But then it was named again because of the Eshkol of Klal Yisrael. And then that begs the question, so what? So what that it was named twice? What's the purpose of the Torah telling us it was really Nachal Eshkol because of Eshkol, and now it's Nachal Eshkol because of the grapes? So what? We say in halachic terminology, Lamay Naf Kamina. What's the practical difference? Who cares why it was called Eshkol? At the end of the day, whether it was called for this reason or that reason, it's going to go down in the history books as Nachal Eshkol. So what is the significance of that? Okay.
Wasn't Eshkol mentioned before earlier in the Torah? Was he the one that they got Hebron from and Avram the funny?
Yeah. So we have Eshkol and Mamre and Aner Eshkol and Mamre. These are the friends of Avram. They are mentioned earlier on in Bereishis. And
he paid to make sure that we got Hebron, that it's ours.
Yeah, but not to Eshkol. Okay, so what is the significance here? And I think by understanding a little bit more about Moshe's charge to the grapes, to go get the grapes, and then cutting the grapes and bringing back the grapes, we will understand, we will have a better understanding of the meaning of Nachal Eshkol, a better understanding of the mission that the Meraglim were on, and perhaps a message for us to take away that is relevant for us as well. So let's begin at the beginning. Let's think about who Eshkol was. So Eshkol, indeed, was the loyal friend of Avraham. And Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, these were the good loyal friends of Avraham. They went out to battle with Avraham Avinu, the five kings against the four kings. It's a big deal. And so what Eshkol represents is loyalty, fidelity. Vayavom, and although on a pshat level, there's nothing here more than going and getting grapes and bringing them back. But when the Torah makes this emphasis about the grapes and the Eshkol, and it's called Nachal Eshkol, we are reminded of a Medrash. And the Medrash says, the Midrash Rabbah says, that there was like a sort of a prophecy here going on. That when Nachal Eshkol was originally called Nachal Eshkol, it was called Nachal Eshkol, but there's going to be, foreshadowing the Nachal Eshkol of during the times of the Meraglim. There's a connection here that Chazal are making, and I believe there is either a remez or a drash or on a sod, a level, not a pshat level, but on a deeper level, to say that the Torah is intimating here that the Meraglim are called to demonstrate loyalty and fidelity to Dvar Hashem, Bitachon in Hashem, just like Eshkol. Moshe is telling them, go get the grapes, and they get to Nachal Eshkol, and here they have an opportunity to be like Eshkol of old and show great loyalty, or not. And they chose, obviously, at the end, not. And so there's a somewhat, there's a little bit of irony here going on. They come to Nachal Eshkol, the place of Eshkol, which symbolizes loyalty and fidelity to Avram Avinu. And instead of showing loyalty and fidelity here now in the relationship to Moshe Rabbeinu for sure, and certainly to Hashem, the Meraglim demonstrate disloyalty. So there's a little bit of an irony here that is being intimated in the Psukim. But I want to take it a step further here. Let's go back again to Pasuk 20. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Meraglim, go check out, is it a good land? Is it bad? Take from the fruit of the land, and the Torah goes out of its way to tell us that it was grape harvesting season. So I guess, the people should take, it was grape harvesting season, so go take the grapes. But again, this is not a significant point at first glance for posterity. So what? So it was grape harvesting season. But there is something very significant here. What is the significance of being a grape harvesting season? So there's a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know who he is, but I saw a little article that he put together, and by the name of Rabbi Yisrael Ariel, and he says that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people to go bring back grapes, and these grapes would be used for karbanos. It's based on a medrash, actually. Medrash in Shir HaShirim says that for 40 years in the desert, the wine that was used, I'm sorry? For 40 years that was in the desert, the wine that was used was from these grapes. It lasted 40 years. The wine that was used in the sacrifices in the desert all came from this cluster of grapes, which means it had to have been like really super huge. And that's what the Medrash says. But I think that there is... So when Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them, go bring back these grapes, you may be Korean Avim, this is the time of the heart, this is the perfect time to bring back the grapes. We're going to be using them for... we're going to be using them for karbanos. Amazing. But I think that there is a powerful point here, which is the Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael. And they saw these amazing grapes. And they said, you know what? We're going to bring these back. And these will be, and we're going to use the, and we're going to use them in the Mishkan. What's wrong with that? Isn't that what Moshe said? Bring back the grapes? Bring back the grapes? But I think there's a little bit of a rebuke here that the Torah is saying. The Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael. Let's put it into modern terminology for a second. They went on a trip to Israel, and they said, "That's very nice. We're going to go to a gift shop, and we're going to bring something back, and make our place in Chutz La'aretz just that much nicer." right? I will adorn my house with some artwork from a Judaica store in Yerushalayim. But that's really as far as it goes. And that's sort of what the Meraglim did over here. The Meraglim go, and they bring back grapes, which will be now used for karbanos in Chutz La'aretz. In other words, we're fine in Chutz La'aretz. We have our Mishkan, we have our Anane HaKavod, maybe the people weren't so happy with the man and the meat situation, but overall, we're good compared to the difficulties that await for us in Eretz Yisrael. So we're going to go, we're going to look at, we're going to, you know, we're going to have a nice tiul 40 days up and down the country, but at the end, we're coming home. And when we come home, we'll have these beautiful, nice grapes, which will enable us to have a complete and full Jewish experience in Chutz La'aretz, which is precisely the opposite of what this was meant to accomplish. So if Moshe meant to bring back the grapes to show people how great it is, the Meraglim bring back the grapes, and it turns out these grapes are used for karbanos, for 40 years. But I think that there is a, you know, by the Medrash Shir HaShirim Rabbah telling us that these grapes were used for karbanos for 40 years, you know, on one hand, the Medrash might be saying, oh, look how amazingly large these grapes were. They provided sustenance for 40 years in the Mishkan. And I think that there's a little bit of a rebuke here. The Meraglim saw themselves as completely self-sufficient in Chutz La'aretz. Eretz Yisrael is good. They can provide us assistance. They can support us. Eretz Yisrael can be a wonderful way for us to help us have a vibrant life right here in Chutz La'aretz. And I think that is a rather modern conception. The Meraglim 3,000 years ago had a pretty modern conception about the relationship between Chutz La'aretz and Eretz Yisrael, which, you know, out of choice or out of necessity, is the relationship that many of us have with Eretz Yisrael. It helps us to sustain a vibrant life in Chutz La'aretz. But really, Eretz Yisrael is meant for us to sustain a vibrant life in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so the Anavim are significant. It was the Bikurei Anavim. It is very significant. But there is yet another level to this. And and let me preface it by saying saying the following. There is a concept called Bikurim, first fruits. Now, the mitzvah of Bikurim is that you have to bring the first of your fruits to Yerushalayim, right? And the mitzvah can be fulfilled. Let's say the bikurim of grapes with one grape. You take one grape, you bring it to Yerushalayim, right? For consumption in Yerushalayim, you fulfilled your mitzvah of bikurim. Now, Meiser, for example. Tithing, you have to take 10%. Truma is actually also, Min HaTorah does not have a precise number to it, but even the Chachamim said to bring a 50th of your crops, that's the average, you know, for an average Joe, to bring a 50th of one's crops, that would be, but when it comes to Bikurim, you bring one grape, and now you have fulfilled your mitzvah of bringing the first fruits. Rabbi Jacob J. Schachter once pointed out that it's a pretty remarkable thing, and it tells us something about the mindset of Bikurim. When you bring Bikurim, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea how robust your crop, your harvest, is actually going to be. It's just at the very beginning, first fruits. And we bring one. With this little one grape, we fulfill our mitzvah. And I think the idea here is that Bikurim is all about thinking about and having hope and bitachon and emuna, faith and trust in what will come. That's what Bikurim is. Now, the Torah tells us, Moshe says, go bring back from the fruits of the land. He did that with kavana, because v'hayamim ha'ele yimei bikurim. This was the day. This was the period of the grape harvest, of the bikurim time. So when Moshe is telling them, you know, it's sort of intimating about the mitzvah of bikurim. So the Meraglim now here, they have their choice, again, laid out for them in full relief. Are you going to have, you know, faith and trust like Bikurim, or not? Right? That's the, you have it, I'm sending you on a mission now. Are you going to choose this way or that way? The choice is up to you. But it's dependent upon having emunah and bitachon in Hashem. That's what helps to breed trust and hope and optimism. So they're going to go and they're going to see these fortresses and they're going to see the giants and they're going to see everything. And Moshe says, go to the, and bring back fruit. It is Bikurei Anavim. It's the time of the harvest season. This is the time of emunah and bitachon and faith and trust. That's why the grape is significant. That's why Yimei Bikurim is significant. Because this is what the Meraglim need to pass this, it's not a test in the sense of testing them to get to a conclusion. It's a test in the sense that they are standing before and they have a choice to make. Will they make the right choice? And Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them all the hints and all the encouragement, you know, to do the right thing. So Vimei Bikurei Anavim is very, very is quite significant. All right, let's think now. Let's go back now to Teshkol. I mean, I promise you, we're going to sort of put this all together. So Moshe gives them this challenge: ma. See if it's this, it's extraordinary, or it's not. You have to make that decision, and only you can make the decision. I'm telling you to go and bring back the grapes. Why? Why am I telling you to bring back the grapes? Because this is Yimei Bikurei Anavim. This is a time of faith and bitachon. That's exactly what the mitzvah of Bikurim is all about. We don't know what it will bring, but we have to have faith and emuna. So they go and they take this cluster, and they bring it back. When they take this cluster, the Torah tells us that it's called Eshkol. That it's called Eshkol. Hold on one second, folks. That it's called Eshkol. Why is it called Eshkol? Because of the cluster of grapes, or because of what it was originally called? So let's think about the relationship of Aner Eshkol and Mamre. There is a famous Midrash that says that Avram Avinu consulted with his friends about whether to do the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Whatever the meaning of that Midrash is, why he would be consulting, why? Okay, but he consulted with them. And they basically said, don't do it. You don't want to do listen, you want to be Jewish, fine. In your home, you can be Jewish. Nobody's going to bother you in your home. You want to eat kosher, fine. Eat kosher in your home. You want to daven, you want to, but please, yesh gvul. You want to cut yourself off from everybody else this way? You want to so prominently, by physically changing your body, you want to make such a pronounced statement? Don't do that. What is Eshkol, Aner Eshkol, in fact, Mamre, what does Eshkol represent? Eshkol represents the type of Jew, and this I believe I saw in the name of Rabbi Breuer. Eshkol represents the Jew who is head down, don't draw attention to yourself, don't get too uppity, mix in, blend in, don't draw attention to yourself. A Jew who lives in the world should not be drawing attention to themselves. Nothing good can happen from that. You want to do what you do? Fine. Don't wear a yarmulke in the street. Wear a baseball cap, right? Don't wear your tzitzis out. Don't call yourself by Hebrew names. Don't just blend in. You want to do it? Nobody's going to bother you. Do what you do. But don't draw attention to yourself. That's what Eshkol represents. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want you to go in, and I want you to find the grapes, and I want you to cut them down and take them back. And these are huge grapes. It requires two people to carry one cluster. It's not taking one and putting it in your pocket. Two people and one cluster. This is a huge thing. You can't walk out of Eretz Yisrael unnoticed carrying this cluster of grapes. And in this sense, the Torah tells us it was originally called Nachal Eshkol, the place of Eshkol, where a Jew keeps their head down and doesn't draw attention to themselves. But they leave Nachal Eshkol and they rename it, because it's now called not Nachal Eshkol, but now it's called Nachal Eshkol. And the difference between Nachal Eshkol and Nachal Eshkol is one Nachal Eshkol is about a Jew trying not to make waves, and the other is about a Jew having pride. And that's where Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to get to being proud. And in this sense, they succeeded. But pride is not sufficient. Pride, Nachal Eshkol, will not ultimately suffice to help a person to make the choices they need to lead to make in order to lead a profound, meaningful, and purposeful life. To lead a life of connection to Hashem. To lead a life of commitment to the tradition. To lead a life of Torah and mitzvos. What do you need for that? For that you need Bikurim. What is Bikurim? It's what we just said. Bikurim is about having emunah and faith in what will come, realizing that it all comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So Nachal Eshkol, Moshe Rabbeinu sent them here to get the grapes in order that they should learn, inculcate, and model for the rest of Klal Yisrael the meaning of Nachal Eshkol, the meaning of the grape. And the meaning of the grape in this context is Jewish pride and Jewish purpose. Pride comes from strength of character, and Jewish purpose comes from a commitment to emunah and bitachon in Hashem and His Torah. So it turns out that Nachal Eshkol and this mission to get the grapes is not an ancillary point. This is not even a digression in the story. It's actually central to the story. The Sforno says it was called Nachal Eshkol originally by the Kenanim, by the local denizens, and then it was renamed. It was renamed here, and the Sforno says that the Sforno says that the Kenanim named it at the same time. But why did the Kenanim name it Nachal Eshkol? Because they were so shocked at Bnei Yisrael's wonder of these large grapes. So Bnei Yisrael, the Meraglim came, the Meraglim found these huge clusters, they picked one off, and they brought it back to Chutz La'aretz. And they were amazed by these grapes. And the Sforno says that the Kenanim were shocked. What are you so amazed about? You know, we got millions of other dunams of land with the same grapes here. But perhaps one could say here that Bnei Yisrael, you know, they, as I've said in the past, Bnei Yisrael saw golden nuggets and failed to see the gold mine behind them, or I should say the Meraglim. Meaning the Meraglim were unable to see the big picture. That's what Bikurim is, being able to see the big picture. That's what this mission is, being able to see the big picture. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is charging them to do, to see the big picture. Don't get lost in the weeds that there is a fortress here, a giant there. That's not the big picture. The big picture is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending you, is bringing you to a land. And you have to be able to see behind the grape, as it were. Now, when I say you were to be able to see the grape, the Eshkol, the cluster of grapes, not like Aner Eshkol and Mamre, who wanted Avraham just to cower in front of the non-Jewish, the pagan majority, but as Moshe Rabbeinu wanted them to have Nachal Eshkol with great pride. Yes, Jewish pride, amazing. That is powerful. But it has to be coupled with the message of the Bikurim and the deeper message of the grape. And here I offer you an idea that I heard in the name of, I believe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I didn't see it printed, but I heard it. And there is something very unique in the world of fruits regarding a grape. And the uniqueness of the grape is, drum roll please, most fruits have a peel or a skin, excuse me, called a klipa. For those of you with a little Hasidic tendencies, you might be starting to feel it as soon as I mention the word klipa, right? So there's a klipa. There is a shell, and it masks. It covers the seed inside. There is a klipa, a shell, and it covers the life, the source of life inside, which is the seed. So a grape is different, because a grape, at least the green ones, and I think even a good number of the red ones, if you hold it up, you can, it's translucent, if not transparent. And you can see the seed, you can see the pnimius through the klipa. In other words, what makes a grape significant is that a grape is a fruit in which, if you work at it, you can easily draw the pnimius out. You can draw the source of light out, the source of life out. And you can see it. It's there to be seen. And this is an analogy to the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, a physical world, which is in a certain sense a klipa, a shell, to the spiritual essence of life that is the God, Hashem, the Shechina, that dwells within every molecule of physical existence and dwells within each physical human being, the neshama. And so the chiddush of the grape is that it is the charge, the challenge, the metaphor, the analogy for what our avoda is in life, which is to pierce the veil, to remove the klipa, and bring out the essence, the truth, the light of Hashem in this world. And the sort of the additional point here is not just that that it exists in life, that there is a klipa and a pnimius, that there is a shell and an inner truth or an inner light and an inner life, but our job is to engage and help to remove the klipa by doing our avodas Hashem. It is our avoda, it is our engagement with the world through kedusha, right? Making a bracha on food, using our physical bodies for holy purposes, using our material wealth to enhance the divine consciousness in the world. That is the way you do that, is by engaging the klipa, by engaging the world. And so Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Meraglim, go get the fruit. V'yemei bikurei anavim. This is the time of the harvest season, of the grape harvest season, when you are called upon to see behind the grape, to see behind the klipa, to see the big picture, to have the amunah, the bitachon of yemei bikurim, faith in what will come. To have the pride of Eshkol and not of carrying these big Eshkols out of the country, and not be meek and embarrassed of who we are, like the Eshkol of old. go get the grape. Go get the grape and show loyalty to Hashem, as Eshkol showed loyalty to Avraham all those years earlier. So I think that if we go back to our original questions, I believe we have now answered them. So the pasuk said, Moshe told Bnei Israel, Moshe told the Meraglim, go and check out the land. Ma, you have a choice in front of you. Are you going to see the positive or are you going to see the negative? Ulkachta mi pri haaretz, and go take from the fruit of the land. And specifically which fruit? Hayomim yemei bikuri anavim. This is grape harvesting season. I want you to bring back the grapes. This isn't a digression. This is Moshe's charge. This is Moshe's mission statement. Go do what the grape calls upon you to do, to find the light of Hashem inside the klipa. Don't be fooled by the fortresses. Don't be fooled by the giants. Have emunan bitachon. See behind the skin. See behind the shell of the grape. And in that grape, the metaphor of the grape, has all the chizuk that you need in order to see the truth, the right of what needs to be done here. And so I, Moshe Rabbeinu, charge you. Vayalu vayasu es ha'aretz, and they go up to the land, they go to Chevron, the place of Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, Eshkol. Vayavo ad nachal Eshkol, and they come to the wadi of Eshkol, they bring back an Eshkol, and they bring it back on their shoulders. So I think that Lamakom Haukara, and this is why it was called Nachal Eshkol, because of the Eshkol. Asher Karsu Misham Bnei Yisrael. So the Eshkol that they cut off in the end, what was the Eshkol that they brought back? Well, on one level, it was an Eshkol of pride. But on another level, they failed. And they got the Eshkol of the old, Eshkol of old. They didn't really get the current Eshkol, the Eshkol of being able to see behind, of see the Bikurim, of have Emunah and Bitachon, etc. And so while Moshe Rabbeinu's charge begins with ambiguity, ma, the Pasuk ends with a certain ambiguity as well, or at least a double meaning. Bnei Yisrael, that the Meraglim are called, are called to see behind the grape, but in the end, they only see the shell. They only see the klipa, and this, of course, has terrible ramifications for the history of Klal Yisrael. And I think that the message for us is rather clear regarding our need to be able, in our own lives, to be able to see behind the klipa and see into the grape. And that's why I named the title of this year, "It's Always Grape Season." It's always grape season. Because grape season, grape in our analogy, in our metaphor here, is all about emunah and bitachon in Hashem. And with that, I think that's a good way for us to end the shir, and a good way for us to end the season. And Mirtz Hashem, we look forward to picking up, God willing, in the beginning of September, where we will start again our shiurim. Any comments or questions? I'm happy to take them now.
Yes.